Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. And you guys know what that means. I am joined by my friendo, John Lobb. Follow him on the Twitter at GridironSkull91. Johnny, what is going on, man? How have you been?
I'm doing great, but I was worried about you. You were questionable with the nosebleed that I saw earlier today. But my man Scott is here. He ain't giving up on a nosebleed for a podcast. So it's good to be on the grid with you, brother.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it happens out here to some of us in Arizona. I don't know. It used to happen to me way, way, way more often when I first moved here. I moved from the most humid area, one of the most humid areas in the country, in Houston, and I come to one of the driest areas in Phoenix, and I just would get constant nosebleeds. Now, I thought my blood was too fat to get a nosebleed anymore, but apparently it is not. So in the middle of recording, and I was in the middle of a sentence, and I was like, oh God, what is that? And my nose started to bleed. I did the right thing and plugged it up with a Chipotle napkin like all American citizens do, of course. It doesn't mean I'm single and trashy at all. But, that's the way your day goes sometimes. So hopefully I will keep a dry nose while recording this here. But, it's been the off season is getting weirder and weirder. Baseball starts on Thursday. I'm ready for it to start. We've got a weird Redskins report coming out here. And the thing that I wanted to talk to you about first, though, John, is Dak Prescott, right? And, this story was kind of, it seems like the whole summer we've been talking about this, where the Cowboys and Dak Prescott are way far off in their negotiations and all that stuff. And then, of course, you hear about Patrick Mahomes getting this crazy big extension, $500 million. And that comes in the middle of Dak negotiating with the Cowboys. So the Cowboys have to kind of throw up their arms and go, oh, what are you doing to us? Why are you putting us in this spot? Because Dak is now going to want something comparable to what Patrick Mahomes, even though, look, I like Dak. I think he's really good. And I would love for him to be the quarterback of my team, when Ben Roethlisberger goes, whenever that is. But that's probably too much money to give to Dak. And at least Patrick Mahomes has proven it with a Super Bowl ring last year. So is this more on the Cowboys? Because the whole thing with the deal and the reason that they're saying that they didn't get it done is because they both started negotiating at the last couple hours and didn't have time enough to reach an agreement, which is a bit ridiculous. And I feel like there's blame on both sides. But what do you think, Johnny? Is this more on the Cowboys or is this more on Dak and his camp?
I definitely think it's on the Cowboys. The Cowboys understand this situation. They have benefited tremendously, salary cap and cost-wise. They got a Pro Bowl caliber starting quarterback in round four. The generosity that has been bestowed on the new salary cap structure to players outside of the first round, like the first round's generous, but at least you're getting something. It's not the Sam Bradford, which was absurd. If you remember the money he got, which was crazy. Now
he hadn't won a damn thing either, Sam.
Yes. Bradford. Yeah. So that was crazy. Now they've gone so far to the other side. You've had 4 years of Dak Prescott. Scott, he hasn't missed a game.
Yeah.
He has played 96 games. He is not the reason why they have won or lost. Now, I get it. Quarterbacks ultimately are usually judged by one loss record. But I'm an old man. Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. Dan Fouts did not win a Super Bowl. And let me tell you, they could throw the football. I'm not saying Dak's that. Winning and losing is not the only measure. The fact that the Cowboys did not get this done when they have benefited so much financially and they had all the time in the world, I blame them. Dak Prescott is a worker trying to get as much money as he can, and that's the American way. It was up to the Cowboys to ensure that their worker was successfully and happily employed to make that money. What I'm going to go back to, the Redskins did not sign Kirk Cousins. And I'm not convinced Kirk is a great player.
Right.
But look at where the Redskins are now, my friend. What are the Dallas Cowboys going to do? So whenever I look at these negotiations, I have to say to myself, what are my options? What are the odds that the Dallas Cowboys ever land a franchise quarterback in the first round again? Same thing with the Seahawks with Russell Wilson. They know what they have with this man, and now they're paying him properly. Dak Prescott deserved to get paid. If he walks next year, where's that franchise, Scott? It's a disaster.
You're right about that, and it is on. I'm with you as it's more on the Cowboys, but I do think that Dak, and not necessarily Dak himself, but his
he could camp, be the agent,
the representatives, right? His representatives camp, however you want to call it, they have to share in this a little bit too by not coming to the table until the last hour of possibly working this out and kind of being stubborn and that. And there's one other small point to this is that, yes, it will be for way more money than it is this year, but they can franchise him a second time. Most teams just don't do that because what happens is you get the franchise money plus, I think, a quarter. It might be a half. It's too much money.
It's a lot more. It's a lot more money.
Right. It's too much money because the franchise tag is already a ridiculous amount. So they won't do it for any other position because I know that, and that's why players like Bud Dupree has filed a grievance against the Steelers to be labeled as a defensive lineman instead of as a linebacker because defensive linemen are paid more in general than linebackers. So signing his franchise tag is smaller because he's listed as a linebacker, but I mean, he's a linebacker. I mean, Steelers 1-3-4.
Last I looked, he was a linebacker, but what do I know? Watching the fight.
Right. And by the way, way to have one good year and act like you should be getting paid like JJ Watt, Bud Dupree. I mean, Bud Dupree is a good player and everything, but his nickname until last year was Dud Dupree. So
he had underachieved clearly because he was a first round pick, right?
He was out of Kentucky. Yeah. And I remember watching his highlights and stuff and just watching him and going, all this guy does is get chase down sacks. Now he's learned way more, and he is a super fast player. But how hard is it to get much better when you have defensive MVP candidate playing on the other side of you and TJ Watt taking up 2-3 blockers at a time? You know, now you get one-on-ones and all that stuff. But we're not even talking about Bud Dupree. I almost called him Bud. Bud Dupree. But we're talking about just the way the franchise tag works. And what I believe it is at first it is, an average of the top five. Is the top five or 10 at your
position? I believe it's the top five.
Right.
At the quarterback.
So you get the top five at your position, and then the second franchise tag is the top five at quarterback. But for quarterbacks, I think it's different because you get the top average and then maybe a half on top or a quarter on top. I don't have all the information in front of me, but that situation was, it just sucks that nothing was worked out because you'd like to, if you're a Cowboys fan, of course, you like to go into the season and, know that this guy is wrapped up for a little while. But, fans are becoming smarter and more details are available to everyone now. So a lot of people say, you know, I don't think I'd want to invest this much money into a quarterback, because you see a lot of teams that do that no longer find the same type of success. You know, the Steelers haven't been back to the Super Bowl since they gave Ben Roethlisberger that giant contract. Same thing with the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. So I don't know. It's a hard line to walk as a fan, because you just want the best players on your team. And at the end of the day, I remember sitting in watching when the Diamondbacks were in, this is so long ago too, by the way, but it was when the Diamondbacks were in trade negotiations to get Tony Womack. And it was like, well, they're holding out to get this. And I'm like, what do you hold? Give them whatever they want. Just get Tony Womack on our team. And that paid off, because Tony Womack had a triple in the World Series to tie the game up in game seven. And he had the game winner against the Cardinals in that 5-game series in that same playoff as well. So, you know, it's little memories like that where you just think, who cares? You know, nothing, what you give up doesn't matter if you win a title, you know.
No, and if they win with Dak, then they roll the dice. I mean, you know, I get it, but you know, I would want Dak. I just, I'm a Dolphin. Look, the Dolphins haven't had someone since Marino, so right. I know the pain of finding a quarterback.
Right. Yeah, the Dolphins have been, but at least they're not in the restraints that it looks like the Redskins are. So
no,
that looks like that's going to be an ugly story. You know, I'm not envious of that franchise. So, but John, let's take your temperature. You and I talk about this a little bit too much, so I'll kind of, you know, we don't have to dwell on this, but let's take your temperature on the potential of the college football season here. And of course, you can hear John and I on College Fantasy Football on Campus over on Fantrax talking about CFF. But, you know, a lot of the schedules got changed to conference only play this week. It seems like most conferences are going to end up going that way. We lost a lot of these great non-conference games, including an opener of USC versus Bama. That was supposed to be amazing. So what is your confidence level that we get football in the fall?
It's at about 30% right now. Yeah. I don't think we're going to have it in September. I do not think they're going to kick off right away. I think we have a chance in October. But if they feel by October 1st that this isn't a safe and doable thing, they might easily put it off to the spring. But then finally, I saw someone who agreed with me on Roto World, and I forgot the author's name. It was a video kind of opinion piece. If they go in the spring, why is Trevor Lawrence ever going to play?
Yeah.
And so this is a major problem for college football right now. Because I know you have university presidents, you have people on those campuses who are very worried, you have faculty are worried, you have athletic departments and money people are saying, we've got to make this happen, right? So you have this ultimate push-pull battle going on, you know, the kind of the one community saying health, public safety, we have professors, we have administrators, how are we going to do this on campus? How are we going to get the stadiums? And then you have the athletic department saying, we need the revenue. This is part of our culture, our state culture. I think it's 30% chance that we have a season right now in the fall. I really do, Scott. I think it's going down by the day. And it was funny. I was reading a magazine at my house. It had the 20 best non-conference games.
Yeah.
I was on my hammock reading it yesterday, and it really made me sad. We are losing. Like, I was like, wow. We were going to have some unbelievable weekends, and those are all gone. Those are definitely gone now.
Yeah, I mean, if we do get fall ball, we'll still get great games. So
yes, they'll just be in conference.
Yeah, they'll just be the in conference games. We're still going to get Oklahoma, Texas. We're still going to get Ohio State, Michigan, and things like that. But you know, we may not get Iowa, Iowa State. We may not get Florida, Florida State. You know, games like that. So, and some of those really good non-conference ones. I mean, week one, we were supposed to have USC, Bama, and Oregon and Ohio State. And
unbelievable.
That stuff is all washed away now. It's definitely not happening. And it's just, like you mentioned, it's such a complicated process for college. And that's why, you know, when people kind of poo-poo the NFL happening, or baseball happening or being able to continue throughout the season. And, you know, all this talk about the NBA bubble and now they have the NARC hotline and all that stuff, which is kind of funny. But those guys are all getting paid. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's much different. It's much
so different. And they have have a group of representatives. They have a players association, each one of them representing them. We don't have that in college.
They have more money. We're not talking about Toledo. We're not even like Alabama might have the money. Toledo and the MAC. UConn. Right. I'm just joking. Arkansas Arkansas State. I mean, where are they getting all this funding to keep all of these players safe? And you're looking at bigger rosters and testing. And don't you have about 90-man rosters in college?
And how are you going to keep all of the other students? And this is a big this is a big thing that I've seen the separator is, you know, because a lot of people think that college football players shouldn't be paid and they're students first and all this stuff. But they're talking about them as they're a separate entity from the students. They say students and athletes. So, you know, it's a big thing. And how are you going to ask the rest of the students to not come on to campus because of COVID and do all Zoom classes and online stuff unless they have like a lab or something, and then have the football players come to campus every day and not only come to campus, but practice and sweat and spit and, you know, practice against each other and all that stuff. And how are you going to keep everyone safe? And, you know, I talked about this on CFB Winning Edge with Nick and Xavier, and Xavier's a young man, just graduated college, and, you know, was talking about what he said. Well, my question is, when do they do the test? You know, OK, so you do the test on Thursday and then the player goes out and celebrates a 4th of July weekend at the lake with all of his buddies and then goes to a couple house parties and then gets his test results on Monday that say negative. Well, is he still negative after all that stuff that he just went and did? Because you can't police what they do. You can't have them live in a bubble like the NBA players, like, you know, the MLB players are expected to do because they're adults and all that stuff. And we've already seen NBA players who are in a bubble and getting paid millions of dollars. Rashawn Holmes, I don't know if you saw, he got popped because he crossed the bubble line to go get a Postmates delivery. So,
and you're talking 19-year-old kids. And Scott, I had a girlfriend on campus in an all-girls dorm. You don't think I snuck in on a Friday night?
Oh, of course you did.
So, I mean, the idea that you're going to keep young athletes away from having fun out. I mean, please.
I mean, it's hard enough to keep adults from doing that.
And,
you know, to keep, young adults from doing it is almost an impossible task. But
impossible.
We're going to go to break here. When we come back, we're going to hit some more player debates. It was really, really good last week. And I made a couple new ones from John. I made sure I didn't repeat any players. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's ITL on the Sports Grid. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Welch
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial Sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league,
this is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back. It's ITL on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm here with John Lobb. Johnny, we can find you on the Twitter at GridironSkull91, of course. What do you have coming up? What are you working on? And where can people find all your work?
Right now, I'm getting ready for our video series for college fantasy football breakdown on the Devy Seminar. My partner Matt and I have been doing analysis for Devy leagues, but now we're going to transfer to college fantasy football because there's not really a video series that analyzes just college football players. So we're coming out with that. And then I'm actually doing a DFS analysis, Scott, which I'm kind of excited about. I've kept 3 years of data of every pick that I've made on footballdiehards.com. I post my picks every week. And I'm doing a price-to-value breakdown of the tight end and the quarterbacks. Should you pay up, and where's the most optimal price range? Now, so I have 96 tight ends I've selected over 3 years. So I have the data, and I'll give one quick hint. If you're in GPP, you pay up for tight end. If you're playing cash, you pay down. That's what my dad says.
I mean, I like that. It's much better information than what Welsh and I do during the season. We come on here, we make a lineup, and then we tell everybody what we did and see if it makes any money. And usually, I mean, sometimes it has. But,
sure, of course. You know, no, I mean, you guys know football. I mean, yeah, I get it.
Not but most I of wanted time, to.
So a lot of people have a lot of different ideas on this. And I said, I'm going to actually track. Now, it's the data's my selection. So I'm going off of this is what. So obviously, these are selections I didn't make. But on my selections, this is how I do if you follow me.
Yeah. And the one tight end that we always take. And like if we have him on DFS, you know to fade him. Because it just doesn't work. Is Jonnu Smith. We took Jonnu Smith maybe 3 or 4 times last year. My guy, Braun, who's in the Army, said he took him every time we did. He's like, you sunk me in a bunch of lineups because of Jonnu Smith. And I was like, you know better than to listen to me on DF. It's not legal in this state, so we're not allowed to play it. We can through and make a lineup, but we can't then play our own lineup because it's not legal here. So obviously we can't play it. But
so quick question. I always wonder, can you even have access to the site to see salaries?
Yes.
Okay. You just can't enter.
Right. We can do those lineups every week. We did them for FanDuel and DK last year, but we can't enter a lineup. We might even be able to do a free contest, like one that doesn't have money, but we're just not allowed to gamble. It's the same thing with sports betting too out here because the Native American casinos are, you know, they have enough money to be in the pockets of the local congressmen, and it'll just never get through those laws.
Gotcha.
So. Until what we really need to push for is the Native American casinos to start running those contests. So if they can, then we'll be able to do them. But until that happens,
that's actually a decent business plan for the casino, right? Like they could just have all Arizona residents.
Hire. You know, they can hire.
Yeah. Look at you. That's a really good idea,
listen,
Scott.
Casino Arizona, if you want to start running numbers, put me in there somewhere. I may not, maybe not at the top, but I can do something. So
that's a good idea.
But let's get a look at, first of all, are you done with Scott Fishbowl? Has your league stopped drafting?
I am. I'm done. I was so happy. I think we finished in 8 days. So
it's going way faster than this football diehards draft. So.
Oh my! I don't even want to talk. It's been on the average 4 days between picks in the football diehards draft.
So I'm looking. We started this draft. I'm just going to look at the day. Okay, we started. Oh my God, I didn't realize it was this long ago, John. We started this draft on June 22nd. It is July 16th as we're recording this segment, and we are in round 15 of 50.
Dude, I have the first and last pick. I have pick number 1600 I have to wait for, and I just made yesterday 449. Oh, my God.
So we had Bob Harris on the ITL football podcast a couple weeks ago, and or I think it was last week, and he said, yeah, we should be done with this by the start of 2021. So and he's not wrong. And Dempsey even sent out an email to everyone saying, hey, you know, this is what the queue is used for, so you can make some couple of auto picks. I know most people don't want to do it, but you know, it's a deep, you know, 32 man rosters. It's the double roster thing, which we've agreed is strange, but that's the way we're doing it. Yeah. And you know, full IDP. So just it's a huge, huge draft. So how are you on your team? What's your confidence level right now?
I feel okay. Now, no matter when you put together, it's a 21-man starting lineup. I think it's 11 defensive players and 10 offensive players. You're going to have a weakness. You can't put together an all-star team. How I look at it, I found value on the defensive side of the football at linebacker. I decided that I was going to go heavy, heavy, heavy at linebacker. So I got Tremaine Edmonds in a dynasty league, he's 21. Chandler Jones, I know he's old, but man, the splash plays. He's really good. Shaq Barrett. And then I got my sleeper, Alexander Johnson of the Broncos. I know people probably don't know him, but I believe in Fangio's system, playing with Chubb and playing with Von Miller and the talent. I like that there. I also went heavy at safety. Jeremy Chinn and Jordan Pyre of the Bills. I went a rookie to keep. And I have a veteran. I think he's 27. I wanted defensive players who scored 200 points a season on their projections, right? It doesn't mean they will, but on their projections. I said to myself, I have five players in my starting lineup who should score 200 points a year on defense. And to me, that was important. Because when you were looking at – when I was drafting these linebackers, the receivers were averaging 135 points. The running backs are down to like 100. You tell me there's a difference between a 110-point projected running back and an 80-point projected running back. But give me that 280-point linebacker. So I kind of like it. We don't know. I don't know how it'll play. I've never played in this giant of an IDP league. So this is kind of based on looking at the numbers. How am I going to get the maximum projected points scored in a starting lineup? Doesn't mean it'll happen, but that's how my strategy was. And I'll bottom feed for my fourth receiver, fifth receiver. You know, it's how I think
in particular for this league, it is getting the linebackers is more important than it is in your standard league with that has IDPs, because this one really pays up. It really, really pays up for splash plays, like you said. So there's not many linebackers that get splash plays. You have the edge rushers like TJ Watt, like Bud Dupree. You have those type of guys, which is what you got in Shaq Barrett and Chandler Jones.
That's why I took them.
Chandler Jones qualifies as a linebacker, right? Not a defensive
end. Yeah, this one I got lucky. He's a linebacker, not a defensive end.
Okay, so for us, we have only one defensive end in Frank Clark, but we have three young stud linebackers, Roquan Smith, Devin Bush and Rashawn Evans from Tennessee.
Real nice.
So, I told Joe Pizzapia that we can wait on IDPs. You know, I've played in deep IDP leagues for a long time. So there are a couple steals that I'm ready to pounce on here coming up at some point. You know, we're not even through, you know, a quarter of this yet. So we still have some time, but I put together some player debates here, John, and the first one is kind of I have two or three that are kind of basic in here, but let's just start out at the very top. And I know in a dynasty league it is different, but Christian McCaffrey versus Saquon Barkley in our mock 6.0 on In This League, which you can listen to on our podcast, we had Derek Brown on, and he said he feels like it's more of a hot take to have CMC at the top of your board, because no one has repeated as RB1 since, God, who did he mention? It was a long
was
time
it
ago.
Walker LaDainian.
No, it wasn't been, I don't think it was that far. It might have been. Yeah, Priest Holmes. That's what it was. You know what? You're right. It was further back. It was Priest Holmes.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I just think even with the new coaching staff, there's no one behind Christian McCaffrey that is even in his ballpark. So he's still going to get the most touches and snaps by a large margin, even if they do ratchet him back. So CMC is at the top of my board. But let's start out CMC versus Saquon. Who are you going at number one overall?
So I'm always going to tell you how my rankings are, and they're just were published on footballdiehards.com. Yes, and they were on footballdiehards.com. The magazines are available in digital format now, and they should be out early next week on the newsstands. I have Saquon Barkley as my bold prediction for fantasy MVP. I don't know if that's so bold, but that's who I have. Look, it. I like that stat, and I had read it somewheres with Priest Holmes being the last guy.
Yeah.
Now, what Christian McCaffrey did, he's special. Only Roger Craig and Marshall Faulk. And I'm old enough to remember all three. Guys, I remember Roger Craig. And I did not like the 49ers. But, man, was Roger Craig special. And I think he was born a generation early. If Roger Craig was playing now, he would be so popular. But people didn't know in the late 80s what to make of a pass-catching back in a West Coast offense. Like, Roger Craig never received the adulation that he deserved. And I don't even think he's in the Hall of Fame yet, which is just crazy. Because
yeah,
if you watch those 49ers teams, Roger Craig was the third most important player on that offense. Obviously, Montana Rice, yeah, then it was Craig. So he was so – and then Marshall Faulk is Marshall Faulk. I mean, I remember San Diego State, watching him on ESPN Friday night at midnight. So to see that Christian McCaffrey did that, and for me to say, can he replicate it? Man, it just seems so hard to get back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And I like what the Giants have done along the offensive line. I like the advance. You know, Daniel Jones should be better. They have weapons, and Barkley is an elite pass catcher. He could easily have 75 receptions. If he stays healthy, I think Barkley's number one. So I have him over McCaffrey. And it was hard, Scott. It was, I had to look a lot when I was doing the rankings. It was difficult.
Just a reminder real quick, John, what college did Priest Holmes go to?
Texas A&M or Texas Tech?
Texas. Johnny,
Texas.
Why do you think I'm asking you?
I thought at least the state of Texas was good enough.
You were in the right state. At least Texas is a real small state, John. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So
but he wasn't that good at Texas, was he?
He was okay. Same thing with Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles better pro than he was at Texas, of course. But what about, we'll get one more in before we have to go to break here, I think. How about Gurley versus Fournette? You know where I stand on this, but they're ranked Gurley, I think, as 16 and Fournette as 17, somewhere in that range on Fantasy Pros among running backs.
I'm all team Fournette. I have Fournette at number 12, and I have Gurley, I think, at 17. I have not been investing in Gurley, and I definitely am in the minority on that. But I believe there is no one else in Jacksonville on that. I guess you have DJ Chark. But I think they are going to feed Fournette just so many touches. You have a desperate coaching staff. You have a sixth-round pick at quarterback. That all tells me that you feed Fournette. You feed him, you feed him, you give him even more. You just never stop. He had over 1,100 yards. Now, I do not think he'll have 76 receptions. But I believe he had, what, 3 touchdowns, Scott? There's no way he should easily get 8 to 11 touchdowns this year just because he had opportunities in the red zone at the goal line and he either failed or they did some weird play action bootleg sneak back. So I think he goes up in touchdowns. Maybe he takes a 20% dip in receptions, but the touchdowns make up for it.
Well, let's say 25 catches off, right?
Yes,
let's
just, and let's that's 51.
That's a third. You know,
yes.
So let's take a third of his catches away and give him 4 more touchdowns.
Yes.
And that's a 1-point difference. So You know, he's still going to be amazing. And it looks like Jay Gruden is not going to be long for the NFL after this Washington Redskins report comes out.
I was thinking that ain't going to last out in Jacksonville. Yeah,
Chris Thompson could be out the door fairly quickly.
Last year on contract, why, on a bad team, aren't you just going to give him the ball?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? They're not going to sign him.
Exactly what they did last year, too. And everyone likes to look at the analytical, stats and say, well, you know, he got hit more behind the line than anybody else. He had fewer yards after contact than a lot of guys. Well, yeah, Gardner Minshew was a quarterback. They're putting 9 guys in the box against him on every play. So it's not like, you know, if you stuck Leonard Fournette in, let's put him in Pittsburgh. Let's put him in Indianapolis. Let's put him, in Oakland, anywhere.
Anywhere else, dude.
And he's going to be so much better. He's a good, good player. So I have been on the Leonard Fournette. I have him crazy high in my overall ranks, too. I'm on the hype train. So everyone else can get aboard. Yeah, everyone else can get aboard. We got plenty of room on this train because a lot of people are not on it. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we got a lot of player debates to burn through. So I'm excited to talk about some of these. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear Endless Love. You know what that means. A 3-hour tour is coming to an end. Be sure to check us out on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Gridiron Skull 91, and at Is It the Welsh for everyone involved in the show today. And please, if you would, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. As little as $5, you get rankings, all kinds of rankings. I have PPR, I have half PPR, I have standard, I have dynasty, I have first year player drafts, I have IDP up there, I have college fantasy football. The Welsh and I have baseball, which starts on Thursday. The Welsh has over 500 minor leaguers up there. We also do live streams twice a month. We answer questions on there. If you want to bump up to $10 or $20, we have GroupMe rooms. It is well worth your money. tons and tons of stuff. And if you're a captain, you can watch the live recordings of these segments as well. We post them in our captain's room as we're doing them so people can comment and listen into the conversation. So it is a ton and ton and ton of fun over on the In This League Patreon. So please check that out if you would. Johnny, we're talking player debates here. So we went, you went Saquon over CMC, which was a little bit of a surprise to me, but I feel like those two are at least in their own tier, you know. Whoever you want to put in the next tier, I think it's kind of Cook, Kamara, Thomas are the next three. You know, you want to throw Derrick Henry in there or whoever else. Okay, but they seem to be their own tier. When we talked about Fournette versus Gurley, you went with Fournette over Gurley because you're smart. And, you know, that's what I do. Now, this one is interesting. How about between the rookies? Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Jonathan Taylor. And Helaire is getting all of the hype right now. But Jonathan Taylor landed in a pretty good situation, too. It's just, you know, a lot of people respect Marlon Mack more than they respect Damian Williams. Who do you like better for 2020 only in a PPR in CEH versus Taylor?
12 drafts, not including Dynasty. 12 regular season redrafts. 7 shares of Jonathan Taylor. Oh. 0 of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Not
because I don't like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Don't get me wrong. In a Dynasty, we can make the argument. But in a redraft, my friend, you have Damian Williams on the team still. He's also a second-round pick. There are too many good wide receivers and running backs available. I can get Jonathan Taylor in the 3rd round. And here's the thing. The Colts are going to play in a phone booth. They have an old, old man at quarterback in Phillip Rivers. They are going to run with Quentin Nelson, a very similar run-blocking scheme, I guarantee, as Wisconsin. They are going to smash Jonathan Taylor between the tackles. He is the perfect back for how the Colts' offensive line is structured. They're going to wham the fullback. They're going to wham the tight end. They're going to cross block with the guards. They're going to go behind that left side of the offensive line. You cannot have Phillip Rivers throw the ball more than 500 times. You are stone cold nuts if you think Phillip Rivers is going to throw the ball more than 500 times and you're going to win that division. You are going to run that football, and Jonathan Taylor is the perfect back for that system. Wham it between the guards all day long.
Now, I think personally, they're probably both a little overrated for this year.
Yeah, you could argue.
But if I want to take one, it is Jonathan Taylor, because I think he's the better back. I do, and everyone knows that the Chiefs offense is better. The Chiefs offense is amazing because of Patrick Mahomes. And we understand that. And it's not taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes or the Chiefs offense. It's just that Jonathan Taylor should be a bigger part. And I think he's so good already that he is going to take probably all 3 downs away from Mack quicker than Clyde Edwards-Helaire will work in with, you know, with the Chiefs, especially with, you know, no rookie camp, no mini camp, no OTAs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they can't even agree on when camp is going to open right now, the NFL and the NFLPA. And they can't agree on if COVID is a non-football injury yet. So, you know, I'm hoping we're not going to get the ugliness that we got out of Major League Baseball here between the NFL and the NFLPA. But, you know, it's trending in a direction that we're all not going to be very happy about. And I've got these guys right next to each other. But I do have Jonathan Taylor ahead, Johnny. So I know you'll be happy about that. How about, let's just look at the top of the board of quarterbacks here. Lamar versus Patrick Mahomes. And if you want, you can take into account cost here, because Lamar does cost about a round higher, maybe half a round in most instances than Patrick Mahomes. So do you have one that you would rather have? And have you been reaching for an early quarterback this season?
I have not. So I have not been reaching. I would take Mahomes or Lamar if they were in the 4th round, but they have not fallen to me. I don't think all year. Lamar's almost always off in the 2nd round. I've seen him go off in the 1st round. I took him in the 1st round of the Scott Fishbowl. But
yeah,
here's
so
why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I did not have the option. Mahomes went first.
Wow.
Okay. I would take Mahomes above Lamar. And what Lamar did last year is off the charts incredible. It's just unbelievable. 1,200 yards rushing, 36-6 touchdown interception ratio. Like, that is unbelievable. But the chances of him replicating one of the all-time great seasons like that, we basically have the same argument with Patrick Mahomes last summer. I didn't draft Patrick Mahomes. The ability to have an all-time great season and replicate it, from Dan Marino to the aforementioned Kurt Warner to Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, Tom Brady in New England, Peyton Manning again in Denver, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. The quarterback almost never replicates that season. It just, everything went perfect, magical for them. I like Patrick Mahomes coming back this year with the Super Bowl champs. Remember, what, he missed 4 games or 3 games last year, right?
Yeah.
I look, even though I like the Ravens' weapons, I think in general the Chiefs have better weapons. And I just don't see 1,200 yards rushing. He's still going to get like 900, 950, which is a boatload.
Yeah.
But he had over 1,200 and 36-6. That might be the greatest quarterback. I've not looked this up, but has there ever been a quarterback who threw over 35 touchdowns with only 6 interceptions?
I feel like Aaron Rodgers did it.
Okay. If that would be I know it's not like Marino, because he would throw like 20. Manning was like 11. Brady was, so it's up there, right? Maybe Rodgers. So the chance of him replicating that number once again, 36-6 and 1,200 yards, I just don't see that. And I have him in 3 dynasty leagues. I want Lamar to replicate.
So just looking at Aaron Rodgers a couple times, 45 and 6 in 2011.
Ooh, that's
39 and 8 in 2012. 38 and 5 in 2014.
So he's the only guy.
40 and 7, in 2016. Last year, 26-4. And he hasn't thrown 30 touchdowns since 2016 through 40. Obviously hurt in 2017 and 25 and 26 last 2 years.
Yeah, so I don't personally think Lamar's in Aaron Rodgers' class as a thrower.
No. No one is, to be honest.
Yes, no one is. So I just don't see that as possible. Let's say he goes 30-12, which would be a great season, right? But it's still a little bit backwards, right? Like, who is most likely to get 40 touchdowns? I think it's Mahomes.
I'll take that as far as throwing goes, but I don't think that I don't think that they're going to let up. They're going to put the brakes on Lamar this season. I think they're going to let him run still. And I know a lot of people think J.K. Dobbins is going to take a lot off of him. I just don't agree. I just don't think that J.K. Dobbins, I think if J.K. Dobbins eats into someone, unfortunately, it's Mark Ingram, who I really like in Baltimore. Yeah. So I do have Lamar ahead of Mahomes, but I would say that they're both in that same range. And I don't mind at all if you want to take Mahomes just because he's the cheaper of the two backs. I do think that, most years that we, the Welsh and I have been doing this podcast since 2014, you want to take a quarterback late. You don't want to take a quarterback early. But this year, I think, is the year that you can grab either a tight end or a quarterback. And if you're in a shorter league, 10-man, 12-man, something like that, you can take both positions early if you want. You're still going to eat into your running backs if you get into that. But I think this is one of the few years you can do it, because the wide receivers, you have that upper echelon of and it's more than 12. It's like 15 guys that are really, really good.
Yeah, 15 really good ones.
And then there's 40 wide receiver twos. So there's so many that can end up in that 12 to 24 range, that or 13 to 24 range, I should say, in a 12-man, that you can reach from the bottom of that barrel more often. So you can go to tight end, you can go to quarterback a little more often. I think we could get a couple more in here. Let's stick. Well, you know what? Let's move over to a couple wide receiver ones. Talk about OBJ versus Amari Cooper. This is an interesting one because a lot of people are knocking Amari Cooper because Gallup outperformed him at the end of the year, and OBJ has not looked the same in a couple seasons and really didn't look so hot with Baker Mayfield last year. So what's your thought on OBJ versus Amari Cooper for this year?
I find this fascinating. Everyone loves Dak. He's essentially the third quarterback, right? Essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I got Kyler Murray, but I'm high on Kyler Murray.
Okay. But so let's say he's three or four. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If you love Dak Prescott as a consensus three or fourth quarterback overall, how can you not love Amari Cooper? I don't get it. I love Amari Cooper. I'm way heavily invested in him. I have him as my number eight wide receiver. 1,189 yards, eight touchdowns last year. 1,005 yards, seven touchdowns the year before, but he switched teams, right? Remember, he was in Oakland. They traded him to Dallas. So he still changed organizations, changed offensive schemes, and still had over 1,000 yards, right? 4 out of 5 years, he's had over 1,000 yards. He's missed 3 games in 5 seasons. I love the consistency at the end of the year. Now, I'll admit, game to game, Amari Cooper can be frustrating because I've had him every year he's been in the NFL. He can go 3 for 30, and the next week he can go 5 for 120 and 2 touchdowns. So I get that he can be maddening. But at the end of the year, Amari Cooper's numbers are always there. Odell now, I was looking at it when I was doing my research. We're really talking about a player that hasn't been incredible. And I'm talking since 2016. He's been good. Nothing wrong with him the last 2 years. And he got injured in 2017. So we're talking about a player that has not hit his ceiling in 3 seasons. So what I don't – and I like Odell. This, don't get me wrong. There's value in every player. But I think Odell Beckham has a big floor and a huge ceiling. But there's a wide gap in those outcomes. Amari Cooper, at the end of the day, on a season basis, is so darn consistent. And I love Dak Prescott. I don't understand. Like, people love Dak Prescott, and they don't like his number one receiver. I mean, he's better than Michael Gallup, and I like Michael Gallup. I don't think CeeDee Lamb's going to eat into him yet. And they lost Jason Witten. I mean, I love Cooper.
I like Cooper a lot, too. I don't know that I'm as down. Where do you have these guys in your ranks? Can you
play them real quick? Cooper's 8 and 11.
Okay.
And Odell's 11.
Okay. I got them at 11 and 12. So I have them really close to each other. But I do have Amari Cooper ahead of Odell Beckham because of all the stuff you just said. More consistent. Odell can kind of be a headache. Plus, you know, I think adding all those offensive linemen for the Browns, they're going to run the ball a ton. You have Chubb and Hunt. So yeah. I think they're going to run the ball a lot, especially when you expect Baker Mayfield to take over and perform like he did at Oklahoma. And he's just not, you know what I mean? And it's not even a knock to him. It's just, it's really hard for someone to come in and perform at that college level in the pros, especially when you're facing some good defenses twice a year in Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And, you know, just NFL defenses are better overall anyway. So, and the system isn't made up. You know, it's not like if Baker Mayfield was in Arizona where Kyler Murray is and he was running the same type of system he was in Oklahoma, he would be, you know, for fantasy wise, we'd have him up there in the top five where most people have, you know, Kyler Murray. Well, at least I do. I have Murray at 3 and Prescott at 4. So they're right within each other there, of course. But, you know,
I think that's at 3 and 4.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just not the case for Baker. This is, you know, you're playing in the mistake by the lake. You know, you want to run the ball, especially when it gets cold there late in the season. So it's just
defenses.
Yeah. And the Browns defense is good.
The Cowboys opponents are, I'm not trying to be mean, but they're trash in the NFC East compared to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, and the Bengals are okay. Like,
yeah, well, getting Joe Burrow, they should be much, much better this year.
Yeah, it's not even close for level of competition.
Exactly. But that's going to have to put a bow on it for this week. We'll get to more player debates with Johnny. Are you still good for next week, Johnny?
Absolutely, brother.
All right. We'll get to more player debates. You guys can, you know, tweet me and maybe give me some suggestions. Or, you know, for those of you that are in the Army, you can hit me up on GroupMe and maybe give me a couple suggestions of what you want to hear John and I debate. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Grant Skull 91, and at Is the Welsh. We will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.